today, talking about the journeys, the wilderness wanderings, and knowing that God is with us, holding our hand, is an awesome, awesome message. Well, listen, we're glad you're here today. We're on chapter 6 of the story. This is actually when, the wilderness wandering happens and takes them right up to the door of the promised land. And we got a long way to go, so let's jump right in. Actually, let me show you a little clip I came across this past week, and it made me think about this particular passage. This is actually a commercial, so we'll watch this just for a moment.
This man right here is my great-grandfather. He's the first cat herder in our family.
Herding cats. Don't let anybody tell you it's easy.
Anybody can herd cattle. Holding together 10,000 half-wild short hairs, well, that's another thing altogether.
Being a cat herder is probably about the toughest thing I think I've ever done.
I got this one this morning, right here, and if you look at his face, it's just ripped to shreds, you know?
You see the movies, you hear the stories, I'm living a dream. Not everyone can do what we do.
I wouldn't do nothing else.
It ain't an easy job, but when you bring a herd into town and you ain't lost a one of them, ain't a feeling like it in the world.
UDS, managing the complexities of the digital economy.
Now you got some computer company that is liking what they do to herding cats. When I saw that, I thought, you know, that's how Moses had to feel. You know, as he was trying to take these 3 million plus people from on this road trip from one place to another. A couple things really stood out there to me. Did you hear the guys, they were comparing their cat scratches? You know, that man, his face was tore up right there. Did you hear him say? And then the guy with the lint roller, did you see that? Being a person that lives in a house with dogs, Arlene and I, we have those things everywhere. They're in every vehicle, they're in the bedroom, they're in the bathroom, we got them over in the office. I mean, I'm sure you've probably seen me get out at a funeral, you know, with a black suit on, and I've got the lint roller, you know, out in the parking lot trying to get my pets off of me before I go in. But I think that this is kind of what Moses had to be going through as he was leading God's people. It was like herding cats. Over 3 million people on this road trip. Now think about this for a moment. Road trip. What are the two things that cause most of the problems on road trips? Number one is kids, and number two is losing your way, getting lost, making a wrong turn. All right. Moses had to feel that way. You know, he's got 3 million kids, and they're all asking, "Are we there yet?" Right. And then what they always say. It's like you start out on this 12-hour trip and you're 6 minutes away from home and they're like, "Are we there yet?" And it's like, "Are you kidding me? We've barely started." All right? If you've read the story this week, I'm sure you've seen that experience with Moses and with these kids. I remember when, I think I've told you the story about the time I got my car impounded when we were on vacation because I parked in a no parking place. It wasn't nearly as bad as it sounds because it actually was... And the sign actually said in real small print, "Don't park here between 6 p.m. and 11 p.m. between May and September." That's what it said, okay? In other words, they closed the street. You could park there any other time, parking meters. But if you parked there during that time, they would tow your car, okay? And they did. We got there early in the afternoon. We stayed there till late that evening. When I came back, the car was gone. But I'll never forget, you know, my kids were like, "Dad, this is all your fault," okay? It's like, "Dude, you guys can read too. Why didn't you see the sign that said, you know, don't park here," all right? I think we're all culpable in this situation that we find ourselves in at night. But aren't kids like that? I mean, haven't you ever, as every parent in here will attest, you have said this, right? "I'm going to pull this car over," okay? Or you threaten, "I'm going to turn around and go back home." When in reality, what that means, I'm going to turn around, I'm going to go back home, and I'm going to leave you, and I'm going on vacation with your mother, just the two of us, okay? You don't ever finish that sentence. But you got kids, and then you got wrong turns. Isn't this the worst thing ever? Have you ever gotten lost in a big city? I remember I got lost in Pittsburgh one time, and I was supposed to go across this particular bridge, and I could literally see the bridge from where I was, but I couldn't get to it. You know what I'm saying? There's like three roads below me, there's the bridge. I'm about ready to push the car over the side and let it roll down the hill and then get back in it and go across the bridge, you know? But these GPS units are awesome today because, and a lot of people say, you know what, I don't trust that GPS unit. I'm saying trust the GPS unit, okay? It may take you a different way than you think that you need to go, but it will most often get you there. See, that was the problem that Moses was having here on this road trip. Kids and wrong turns. Now, think about these three complaints and turn to page 71 of your story. Let me show you something. I want to go on a road trip this morning with the children of Israel, and I want us to learn some valuable lessons from this time together. Look at what it says. On the 20th day, the second month, second year, the cloud lifted from above the tabernacle of the covenant law. Then the Israelites set out from the desert of Sinai and traveled from place to place until the cloud came to rest in the desert of Paran. They set out this time at the Lord's command through Moses. Remember last week how we said how you got this specific moment in time that you never forget? Well, they had this camp out here at the base of the mountain for over a year. And then the Bible says that it came time that they left out and they started on this road trip. And look at the very first, that bottom paragraph on page 71. Look at what it says. Now the people complained about their hardships in the hearing of the Lord. And when he heard them, his anger was aroused. Then fire from the Lord burned among them and consumed some of the outskirts of the camp. When the people cried out to Moses, he prayed to the Lord and the fire died down. So that place was called Taberah because fire from the Lord had burned among them. The rabble with them began to crave other food, and again the Israelites started wailing and said, if only we had meat to eat. We remember the fish we ate in Egypt at no cost. Also the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions, and garlic. But now we have lost our appetite. We never see anything but this manna. You know, when you examine the children of Israel, they're a lot like us, or we're a lot like them. Think about these three complaints. They complained about the hardships of the trip. You know, they complained. I even heard somebody the other day said, man, it is so hot. I wanted to say, are you kidding me? This is the first day that we've had above 70 degrees, and this dude was already complaining. All right, that's who we are. We complain about the hardships of the trip. That's exactly what they did. They complained about the hardships of the trip. They complained about the food. Even though they didn't have to work for the food, they didn't have to cook the food. God produced manna for them every day to take care of their need for food. And they said, you know, I am so sick of this food. They complained about the driver. Anybody here complains about the driver? You know, they looked and they had complaints about Moses and about Aaron, and I'm sure it was about, you know, where he was taking them and how he was taking them and why are we going this way and why are we walking up this hill and why are we crossing here. They just complained about his motives and about his route. They just complained about everything. And folks, sometimes when I think about what they were saying here, something is so true, and that is a lot of times our attitude and our complaints can overshadow the blessings that we have in God. So often if we have a bad attitude and if we're looking for things to complain about, we fail to see the blessings of God. Think about this. They were complaining about the hardships that they were enduring. God parted the Red Sea. They complained about the food, but yet every morning, God provided manna. Matter of fact, when they complained about the food, God brought another wind in and he blew quail in for them to have meat to eat. Have you ever eaten quail? I remember when I was a kid, I can close my eyes and I can remember my grandfather talking about, you know, the quail, the bird that he had killed. And he always talked about how it was such a blessing from God because although quail had just a very little bit of meat, it was some of the most beautiful and tender and delicious that you could ever have. You know, and there wasn't big legs or thighs or anything. You just ate that little breast. He always said, just throw the rest of it away. But that small amount, it was succulent. And yet, here they are complaining about the food, complaining about the driver. And so often when we have a bad attitude and complain about the things around us, we fail to see the blessings of God. And here's the thing, folks. When you go on this road trip with the children of Israel and they don't see God's blessings, they don't recognize God's blessings, they don't thank God for what they have, but just complain about the things that they don't have or they wish they had, or complain about Moses and Aaron and the way they were leading, that's when detours happen. Matter of fact, if you read the story this week, you'll see that a dangerous wrong turn takes place at a place called Kadesh Barnea. Now, I want you to turn in your story. Turn to the opening map there inside your book, and I want you to notice something. Okay? You got the Garden of Eden over there between the Tigris and Euphrates River. And then you got the mountain north of there where the ark came to rest. And then you got down there, you have Ur, where Abraham came from, and God said, I'm going to make you a great nation. I'm going to make you as numerous as the stars in the sky and as the sand on the seashore. And then you had Abraham's descendants who became this great nation, and Joseph was taken into Egypt, into slavery. And then Joseph's family came down there and spent all these years in captivity, in slavery, until that time when Moses comes to lead the people out of Egypt. And then they go and he parts the Red Sea and he leads them through that. And here they are, camped at the base of this mountain. This camp out lasts for a little over a year, 14 months. And now it's time to go to the promised land. And God said, I'm going to give you the land from this point up to that point in the north, from the Mediterranean Sea all the way over to the rivers to the east of Jordan. And then he said, from this southern point, and if you look there, it says Kadesh Barnea. That's exactly where they find themselves when this detour takes place. Think about this, folks. A lot of times we think that that the children of Israel left Egypt, wandered for 40 years before they went into the promised land. But what they did was that they left Egypt. They miraculously crossed the Red Sea. Okay? God gave them quail. God gave them manna. God gave them water from a rock. And here we find that they are on their way. They leave the mountain after getting the Ten Commandments, and they leave the mountain on their way to the promised land, and they are at Kadesh Barnea. And the neat thing about that is that is the southernmost tip. That's right on the edge of the land that God said, I'm going to give you. So the point is that they didn't leave Egypt and wander for 40 years and then enter the land. They left Egypt. God led them to the very doorway of the promised land. And then because they had a bad attitude, they started complaining, they failed to obey God, they were disobedient to God and His commands, then the detour took place. And folks, listen, the lesson for me and you today is that when we get off base and we complain, you know, when we get off base, we don't recognize God's blessing. When we choose a different way other than God wants us to take, that's when we are at Kadesh Barnea and all of a sudden we find ourselves on a terrible detour. Now think about this. While they were there, the Bible says that they sent out 12 spies, one for each of the 12 tribes of Israel. The 12 spies are given the job to go into the promised land and to scope it out, to check it out, to look around the land so that they would know what they were getting into. You know the story. 10 spies came back. They reported that there was an abundance in the land. They even carried some large cluster of grapes back to show the people how fertile, how it was flowing with milk and honey. But then they said that these certain people live there, therefore we cannot take the land. That's when Joseph and Caleb, the two other spies from the 12, spoke up and said, listen, and here's a quote, because God is with us, we can take the land. But the people began to grumble. The people began to complain. The people began to take sides. And most everybody stood on the side of the 10 spies who said, we should not take this land. So a detour happens. They wander for 40 years. The Bible's pretty plain when it says that they wandered 1 year for every day that the spies were in looking at the land. So they went in and they looked around for 40 days. So they were on this wilderness wandering for 40 years. And here's the sad thing. The purpose of the wandering in the wilderness for 40 years was to allow that generation of everyone over 20 years of age to die. To die because God says you will not enter the promised land because you have not trusted in me. You've complained. You've brought complaints against my leader, Moses. And none of you will see the promised land. And after Moses urges the people to trust God, to take the land, the people refuse. They rebel. And they take this wrong turn at Kadesh Barnea. And Moses reports this heavy-handed judgment of God is because of people's lack of faith. That's what he says in there. Israel's lack of trust in God and disobedience to God creates this 40-year detour. Even the children are punished because of their parents' disobedience. And here's the thing, and I got to jump ahead because we don't have time to get into all this. After 40 years, guess where they end up? Kadesh Barnea. The exact same place. After 40 years of wandering, they end up in the very same place. And something really interesting happens. Everybody's died. Okay? All of the people that didn't trust God, they had died. The only one that's left is Moses. And God says to Moses, Moses, I want you to go up onto the mountain and I'm going to show you the promised land. You're going to be able to see all the way north. You're going to be able to look to the east. You're going to be able to look to the west. You're going to be able to look to the south. You're going to see all the land that flows with milk and honey that I'm going to give to my people, my nation. But you won't be able to go in. It's interesting to notice why. You know why? Because Moses succumbed to the very thing that he was criticizing the nation for. Because God told Moses once when they were complaining about water, he told Moses, he said, Moses, speak into the rock, the waters of Meribah. Speak into the rock and I will bring forth water. And Moses goes over and he takes his staff, Aaron's there, and he strikes the rock twice. And water comes forth. But God tells him, Moses, because you disobeyed me, I said, speak into the rock and I will bring forth water. Because you disobeyed me and you struck the rock, not once, not twice, drawing attention to you and something, you know, it seems to be that God is saying, you know what, it's trying to look like that you caused this to happen. He said, you will not enter the promised land. So he takes him up on this mountain and he said, I want you to look. I want you to be able to see it. And then you're going to die on that mountain. And if you've read the story, you notice, I think, one of the most intriguing parts of it. It says that Moses died on the mountain there. And when he died, God buried him. And nobody knows where he buried him because they don't want to draw attention to it. But before he goes up on the mountain and before he dies, he addresses the people. And I want to take a minute and I want to learn from Moses. Because before, and he knows his life's over. He understands this road trip that they've been on, and because of their disobedience, because of their lack of trust, they've gone on this 40-year detour. Now the 40 years are up, and they're back at Kadesh Barnea, and they're about ready to enter into the promised land, and Moses is getting ready to die. God is going to, he's going to die on the mountain. God's going to bury him there. But before he does that, Moses gives this speech to the people. Moses speaks this, Randy Frazee calls it a grand valedictorian speech. But Moses takes this time to address the people. It's in Deuteronomy 32 and 33, Numbers chapter 20. And before the people, Moses speaks and he talks to them about their failure to trust God. Matter of fact, let me show you a couple of things in this. If you turn into your story, it's on page 84. Look at this. These are the words Moses spoke to all Israel in the wilderness east of the Jordan. So get this, okay? He's east of the Jordan. He's looking west, all right? And he's going to be able to see to the south and to the west and to the north. He's going to be able to see all that God has given his people. And then he looks at this obstinate, stiff-necked, unrepentant, unfaithful in some ways people. And he's trying to give them a last bit of encouragement to live a life that is pleasing to God. Look at what he says, that middle paragraph. The Lord your God has blessed you in all the work of your hands. He has watched over your journey through this vast wilderness. These 40 years, the Lord your God has been with you, and you have not lacked anything. You see, Moses here is indicting the people and saying, listen, the things that you've complained about are not really complaints that you should have. God has taken such wonderful care of you. Look at the last paragraph on page 84 there. It says, you were shown these things so that you might know that the Lord is God. Besides him, there is no other. From heaven, he made you hear his voice to discipline you. On earth, he showed you his great fire. And you heard his words from out of the fire, because he loved your ancestors and chose their descendants after them. He brought you out of Egypt by his presence and his great strength to drive out before you nations greater and stronger than you, and to bring you into their land and to give it to you for your inheritance as it is today. Then look at this next paragraph. Acknowledge and take to heart this day that the Lord is God in heaven, above and on the earth below. There is no other. Keep his decrees and commands, which I am giving you today, so that it may go well with you and your children after you, and that you may live long in the land the Lord your God gives you for all time. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. These commands that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. And you can read the rest of that. But it's absolutely amazing here. Moses is trying to tell them something, and thereby, I think, wanting to tell us something. And let's learn this valuable lesson. Because as a result of Moses' disobedience, he's allowed to see the promised land, but not allowed to lead the people into it. What a sad thought that is. But Moses declares something here to these people that you and I need to know as well. He tells these people that they have a fresh opportunity to trust and obey God, who is a divine GPS. And folks, that's my message to you today. Wherever you are on this journey, however you feel that if you're wandering in the wilderness, you know, you just feel like you're complaining about life and about where you are and about the people that are leading, all this kind of stuff, you have a fresh opportunity today to trust in God anew. And Moses tells the people that they are not alone. His message to them is the message that God has been giving over and over and over again, that God is with you. Matter of fact, let me sum it up here. I don't want to read this out of the story. I want to read it right out of the Word. It's Deuteronomy chapter 30. Listen to what he says, Deuteronomy chapter 30 and verse 19. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today. This is part of this grand speech. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessing and curse. Therefore, listen, Moses says, therefore, choose life that you and your offspring may live. Now listen to all these commas in this next phrase. Loving the Lord your God, obeying his voice and holding fast to him, for he is your life and length of days, that you may dwell in the land that the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them. Comma, 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 comma. And every comma is an illustration that God has been faithful and he will be faithful to us today. We just have to make the choice to follow him. So let's learn that lesson well from Moses. Let me talk to you about a community covenant. I have one here somewhere. In the seat in front of you, in the little seat back pocket there, there's a white card like this. Everybody in this room get this card. You need an ink pen or a pencil. If you don't have one, there's one in the pocket there in front of you. You can share those. But we have this card. It is called a community covenant. I want us to do today, as a community of faith, I want us to respond to the same message that Moses gave to the people there that day. I mean, when the Israelites didn't want to go the direction that God sent them, he sent them on a detour. They're wondering, but they finally got back and they were able to follow through by faith in God. And listen, folks, I believe with all my heart that the Christian life is like a road trip. God wants to lead us every step of the way. God wants us to use his godly positioning system. He sees the whole picture from beginning to end, and he knows where we're going, and he knows how to get us there. But we just simply need to trust him. Now, before you do this, and I'm going to ask you to sign this in just a moment. But see, folks, what this means, to trust God, means when God says, hey, turn left, that means we turn left. That's right. I mean, when God says, I want you to go to the right, that means we go to the right. When God says to us, I want you to stop, we stop, right? At the mountain, they stopped. They camped for 14 months until God said move, and they moved. When God tells us to go forward, we need to go forward. That's right, left, right, stop, forward, at his direction. And when we trust him to lead us in that way, he will. But here's the thing, folks. When that breaks down, and when we choose something different, it not only affects us, but it affects everybody on the trip with us, right? I mean, think about that. Caleb and Joshua, they wandered for 40 years too, even though they chose correctly. When we choose badly, when we choose a bad path for ourselves, our family is affected by that. And I just want us to stand in this place this morning, and I want us to hear the words of Moses where he says, listen, choose life and know that God is going to go with you. And I want to acknowledge that on this card. I have asked the staff to do this on this card. We've signed one of these cards. If you're here today and you are a leader in this church, the First Church, if you're an elder, deacon, deaconess, trustee, I want you to sign this card. Not only for you personally, but as a leader of faith in this community. If you're here today and you've been coming to First Church forever, I want you to sign this card. If your great-grandparents were members of this church, and you are too, I want you to sign this card. Matter of fact, I invite you, if this is your very first time ever to come here to First Church this morning, I want you to sign this card. I mean, if you think that this is the place where God is going to lead you, going to guide you, we want to go together, I want you to sign this card, and I want you to date it. And then here's the thing. After you sign it, I want you to get somebody to witness it, because we're not on this journey alone. Okay? People are riding in the car beside us, you know, family, friends. If you want me to sign your card, you bring it up. I'll witness it. I'll sign my name on there to it. Absolutely. And together as we do this, here's what I want you to do. After you sign this card, I want you to take it, and then I want you to tape it right there in the front of your book. Maybe not on the map, because we're going to refer to that. Let's do it here. You see, you'll be ripping it off there in a couple weeks when I go back to that map. There, the second page. I want you to tape it right there. And every time you read the story, I want you to read that covenant. And know that you're promising to do exactly what Moses is encouraging these people to do here today. And by doing that, we're going to be faithful to God. And then we're not going to go wandering off for 40 years on a detour because of our disobedience or our complaining. But I'm saying, God, I want to have a good attitude, and I want to be faithful, and I want to faithfully follow you and other leaders in your kingdom. I want you to do that right now as I bow my head, bow our heads and pray. You pray with me, but as I pray, you can put your name on that card. I don't want them. I'm not going to ask you to pass them in or anything. I want you to put it in your book. I want you to tape it or keep it as a bookmark in your book. And every day when you read the story, I want you to notice that covenant that you're making to trust in God. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, I do thank you today for, Lord, for this wonderful story. God, what a story of a road trip. And God, of people who are so blessed because of you. And dear God, I pray that you would help us to learn this valuable lesson from them, and certainly from Moses, Lord, as he spoke to the people and how they needed to choose life and be faithful and true to you and to your commandments and to your decrees. And I pray, Lord, that we would have that same kind of faithfulness today as we seek you and serve you. Father, we love you. Thank you, Father, for all you've done for us. And we just pray, Lord, for your strength to be ours. There's some of us here today, Lord, that we're complaining, got a bad attitude. God, help us with that. Help us to see beyond those things and to see the blessings that we have from you. Help us not to complain about what we have, wanting something different or better. Lord, help us to depend on you to show us the way. And then, God, when we inevitably sometimes get off track and we get on detours, God, may we trust you to bring us back. May we stand as they stood and be faithful once again. God, they need you. The people, your nation, need you so much. As Moses said to Joshua, and we're going to look at this next time, but to be strong and courageous. They needed strength and courage to go and to take the land. And I pray, Lord, that you'll give us strength and courage as well to walk and trust in you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.